This is Isaiah Davis. You're listening to Roster Watch.
What is up, Roster Watch Nation? Welcome back to the Roster Watch Top 10 Thoughts Show. We are now post week 8 of the NFL season. It felt like, and I'm just going to preface this right off the bat, I am the least prepared for a Top 10 Thoughts Show as I've been all season. I don't have all 10 thoughts written out on paper like I usually do or on a document, but I have a bunch of them up top. There's been a lot going on in college football. There's been a lot going on in the NFL. And it felt like to me, first takeaway here, it felt like moving week or separation week of the NFL season. It was just the drastic ass kickings that was being put on all weekend by half of the league. It felt like every time you turned and you looked at a different, starting on Thursday Night Football, right? The Chargers dominate the Vikings, a team we thought was going to be good. The Vikings have been dismantled by injuries, yada, yada, smoked by the Chargers. Dolphins smoked the Falcons. The Falcons, the most bipolar team in the football in the NFL all year. The Ravens get back on track without Lamar Jackson, blitz the Bears in the second half. The Bills finally get their dominant performance that we talked about. The Patriots dominate the Browns. The Eagles dominate the Giants. The Texans, that was an 11-point game, but the Texans dominated the 49ers. Broncos dominate the Cowboys. Bucks dominate the Saints. Colts dismantle the Titans. Everything was an ass-kicking down to Sunday Night Football when the Packers, it was a good game until the fourth quarter, and the Packers ran away with that one. It felt like everything was an ass-kicking, but the Jets and Bengals game, which, innately, if you go back into that game, at one point, that was 38-24, Bengals. They were up by 14, and they lost. Like, pulling the Mississippi State situation. Like, everything was an ass-kicking all weekend, it felt like. I might get demonetized for saying ass 5 times in 2 minutes. But, hey, the NFL hits the halfway point, and it feels like it's so interesting. You go back, like, I suppose 15 years, if you go back in the record books, Indianapolis Colts, number 1 seed, 7-1. New England Patriots, number 2 seed, 6-2. Denver Broncos, 6-2. Like, we're talking Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Jake Plummer. Like, this is, and you got the Chargers fighting in there, little early Phillip Rivers action. This is like yesteryear, 15, 20 years ago of what the AFC looked like. It's been tough for me to get on track with the Colts this year. It took me a while, I should say. They haven't exactly played the toughest schedule. Just call a spade a spade. Yes, they beat the Broncos in week 2, but the Dolphins, garbage. Titans, garbage. Lost to the Rams in Los Angeles by a touchdown. Vegas, garbage. Cardinals, mild to garbage. Tennessee again, garbage. Chargers, good win. They play Pittsburgh this week. They're coming off a loss against the Packers. They play the Falcons next week. Super bipolar football team like we talked about a minute ago. I'm there. This offensive line is playing phenomenal. Daniel Jones is not turning the football over. Maybe the most impressive thing. I think we just went through 10 thoughts in a minute and a half. But the Colts team is vastly impressive. 13 touchdowns, 3 picks, 71% completion percentage for Daniel Jones, up 8% year over year from 2024 with the New York Giants. Already over 2,000 passing yards. Like, by far the best season of his career. But I will say, I have more belief in the New England Patriots than I do the Indianapolis Colts. They're on a 5-game win streak. They lost to the Raiders by 7 in week 1, lost to the Steelers by 7 in week 3. Panthers, Bills, Big win against the Bills. Saints, Titans, Browns, right? The three worst teams in the league. Saints, Titans, Browns, bang. Of course, you get the Jets in 3 weeks. They'll have the Jets twice down the stretch. This is a 10-win football team. You got the Falcons you can win, the Jets, the Bengals, the Giants are winnable, the Jets. Like, this New England Patriot team might win 12 games this year. 12. And, like, they already beat the Bills once, and now it's at home. Like, Buccaneers, like, this is a 12, 13-win football team. Drake May is – maybe it's just malpractice from my job, but I haven't even looked at the NFL odds right now for NFL MVP, probably because I just know it's probably like Dak and Patrick Mahomes. Let's pull them up and see what the MVP odds are. And Josh Allen. This is awesome. All right. So Patrick Mahomes is plus 135. Josh Allen's plus 380. Drake May is plus 420. I love that the odds have – flip, because I was just about to say, Drake May is like having an MVP season. I don't really got nothing else to say about that. Like, Matthew Stafford's fourth, Jordan Love's five. Jordan Love had a great game Sunday Night Football. Daniel Jones is sixth. I love that Drake May's up there, but it's going to be hard to get up ahead of Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes in the AFC. Yeah, big opening thought, though. Please click that like button. Please click subscribe if you are here on YouTube, here on podcast. Leave a 5-star review. We will have the Waiver Wire show on Tuesday with Trash Man and Alex Dunlap. The return of Christian Watson happened on Sunday Night Football. And we were wondering what that was going to do to this offense. Well, what it did was it unleashed Jordan Love to have 360 yards through the air, 3 touchdowns. The running game just missed going over 100 against the Steelers, which is, you know, generally where the Steelers have faltered this year. Tucker Kraft went nuclear, 143 yards and 2 touchdowns on tight end weekend. Christian Watson, though, 4 for 4, 85 yards. Like, as long as Christian Watson is healthy, Christian Watson, for all intents and purposes, like, he's not one of the best receivers in the league. I'm not going to say that. But he belongs in that, like, in that group of, like, the T. Higgins group, right? The T. Higgins conversation, which is like tier three slash four in the league, like the big beta alphas, the guys that are super good, that if they can stay healthy, they can be very dependable. If there's something else in the offense, if they're solo by themselves, I don't know if I trust them 100% of the way. I've always had that view of T. Higgins. If you can question it all you want, Nate Liss, I love you, but I've always been questioned about that. But I've never been proven wrong. Same kind of goes with DeKalen Metcalf. Like, DK Metcalf's a stud. He's an alpha's alpha, but he doesn't have that it factor. And it's just like that. That's part of it. I would never tell DK Metcalf he's not an alpha. I would never call him a beta alpha. But from a receiving archetype, that's what he is. Jonathan Taylor, speaking of the MVP, probably should be in that conversation. Another monstrous game for Jonathan Taylor, 174 yards, 3 touchdowns, 23 or more fantasy points in 6 of 8 games this year. It feels like every time you're sitting there watching Red Zone, I usually watch Red Zone, get like 4 box up, and then I got another TV on the bottom. It's got a single TV on it. And you're watching, try to watch 5 games or 6 games at a time. And they pop over, and it's like, Jonathan Taylor, touchdown. It pops up on the GSIS. And you go, all right, what's this thing look like? Boom, down the sideline, shot out of a cannon. 75 yards, 70 yards, 80 yards, whatever it is. Week in and week out, you can bet on it. Same kind of can be said for Saquon any given week. Saquon got hurt, though. We'll see what happens with that. The injury popped up. James Cook adding himself to that conversation. James Cook, here's where I think, like, I understand the Josh Allen thing. No water today. I don't know how long this show's going to go. Josh Allen is the Bills. I get that. The Bills aren't the Bills without Josh Allen. But James Cook deserves as much conversation in a lot of these areas as Saquon, as Bijan, as Taylor. Now, from the receiving side of the game, we've talked about this before. Like when Ray Davis and Ty Johnson are healthy, they get the receiving work for Buffalo. And sometimes the receiving work doesn't exist for the backfield. Like in this game, one target for the backfield. It was Ray Davis with one. The other 23 passes were receivers, tight ends. That was it, right? James Cook hasn't had a reception in the month of October. Three games, one target, no receptions. They really teased us in week one with that 5 for 58, didn't they, against the Ravens? James Cook deserves to be in this conversation. The 216 yards on 19 carries. He's going to go over 1,000 yards, you know, before Thanksgiving on the ground. And the touchdowns haven't regressed. James Cook's a stud. James Cook's a stud. Another thought. The Cam Scadaboo injury. There's been, you know, a few injuries in the history of the sport that are just like disgusting, right? You see him and you're like, why? But if you're not watching that game, well, even if you're watching that game, so they cut on red zone to that game. And they had him on the ground. They said there was a bad injury. It was graphic, whatever. And they cut to commercial. But on red zone, Scott Hansen's awesome. Respect him. Love that job. That's an awesome job that he has. I would love to do it. The amount of shit he gets wrong from a player's perspective, from a name perspective, for having four dudes helping him in front of him and doing that for a living, the amount of stuff he gets wrong, kind of nuts. But whose idea was it, first off, in the day and age of Twitter, when everybody can go find the graphic video of Cam Scadaboo's ankle snapped 90 degrees sideways, and all you see is the bottom of that, what is it, the tibia? Right above the ankle, snapped off. Whose idea is that to put that and you say, you know what, we're going to come right back. This is very graphic. We're gonna show it. So if you don't want to watch, you know, look the other way. Like, there's Twitter. Go look on Twitter if you want to go watch the video. You don't need to put that on TV. But also, it's disgusting. Like, that's like the Kevin Ware injury from the Louisville game in March Madness, like, you know, 12, 13 years ago. Disgusting. They came out and they said it was a dislocated ankle. Like an hour later. Like to say, oh yeah, everything's all right. Dislocated ankle. He's not going to return to the game. He's out. Well, no shit, he's out. Were they going to pop it back in? He's going to come back out and play? I don't know. Soapbox there for just a second. Tyrann Tracy, though, the most added player on Sleeper in the last 24 hours. 300,000 adds, which is just about 50,000 more than Tank Bigsby in Philadelphia, who maniacally rushed for 104 yards on 9 carries. Him and Saquon combined for 254 yards on 23 carries against the Giants. Tyron's going to be right back in his role he was in before Cam Scadaboo got to New York. I don't really believe in the Devin Singletary side of that conversation. Tracy's been getting work even with Scadaboo in the lineup the last couple of weeks. He had 10 fantasy points in week 7 against the Broncos. You go back to 2024, the opportunities that Tyrann Tracy had was, you know, New Orleans, he scored 20 fantasy points. Atlanta, he scored 17. 14 against Carolina, 23 against Pittsburgh, 23 against Cincinnati, 14 against Seattle. Like, we talked about it during, like, post-NFL draft of this potentially being the spot where you see, like, a Bucky Irving supplants Rashad White, which happened, and now look where we're at. Bucky's got an ankle injury. And Rashad White's getting that work right now. And now we look at New York, and Tyron Tracy is Rashad White, and Cam Scadaboo was being Bucky Irving this year, and he was the new sick thing, and now he's got the ankle injury, and Tyron Tracy's going to get right back into that Rashad White role, and he's got to be considered, you know, a top 16 player in every in any given week in fantasy football at the running back position.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I love Tyron Tracy. Houston. I want to talk about this Houston wide receiver room. Again, like I'm going to be all over the board today, not as clean cut as usual because I didn't write anything down. I'm just going, whatever my brain tells me is next is where we're going. The Houston wide receiver room. We talked about this on Friday, talked a little bit about it on Sunday morning. I said I started out with Jalen Noel as kind of my preferred player in that room. And I kind of moved that to Jaden Higgins as the week went by. We knew Xavier Hutchinson ran the most routes outside of Nico Collins in this receiver room all year. He was going to get his run. I sort of was on the fence about it. He ends up with 17.9 fantasy points in the game against San Francisco. All three of these dudes really, for all intents and purposes, eight. Hutchinson had 6 targets, 5 for 69 and a touchdown. Noel went 5 for 63 on 6 targets. Noel was in for 45% of the routes, 45%, a tick down from week 7. And he scored 11 points in that game too. So Noel was the wrong process because Noel got the same work. And the notable addition was the fact that Braxton Berrios came in. Braxton Berrios, I came in and looked like the first drive and it was like, Berrios, 3 targets. What the hell is this? We're going to get nuked by Braxton Berrios. This happens every year at some point in the latter part of the season. Jaden Higgins, though, he does get 81% of the routes, which is a season high, a career high, 81% up from 61%, 49%, 38% the previous 4 weeks, 13 fantasy points in the Nico Collins role. So that's trustable. As long as there's no Nico, Dalton Schultz did nothing. That's the other side of the coin for that conversation. I got a bizarre stat that I added up on Sunday night about the Cincinnati Bengals, and it circles around Jamar Chase. We talked about, you know, this Jamar Chase thing and how Joe Flacco could save the season for the Bengals and more so Jamar Chase and T. Higgins' fantasy value. We talked about that, what, in week 5? Going into week 6, was that Joe Flacco was going to save the season. Here's your stat. The Cincinnati Bengals possessed the ball for 60 minutes and 52 seconds against the Steelers and Jets the last 2 weeks. Jamar Chase has 59.2 fantasy points in that window. So almost a point per minute of gameplay, of possessed ball. Not just like gameplay, but like they've possessed the ball for 60 minutes. He scored 59 fantasy points. Jamar Chase has been targeted 42 times in that span. Therefore, every 1 minute and 27 seconds, Jamar Chase is targeted when the Bengals have the football. The game clock is, what, 40 seconds? Or, yeah, 40 seconds? Or no, that's college. Sorry, 25 seconds. So you run a play every 25 seconds of possession, around 25, 30, somewhere around there. So every third play, he's getting targeted. That's nuts. That is nuts. 42 targets in 2 games. 54 if you want to go back the week before that, and he had 25 fantasy points in week 6. Joe Flacco single-handedly saved Jamar Chase's fantasy football season and probably a ton of your rosters that drafted Jamar Chase, you know, with the 101, 102, 103, whatever pick you utilized on him. The Tennessee Titans suck. The New Orleans Saints suck. The New York Jets stink. The Browns are the worst out of all of these teams. And the Browns are 2-6. The Browns beat the Dolphins. They beat the brakes off the Dolphins. And the Dolphins turn around and beat the brakes off the Falcons. I don't understand any of it. I don't understand how the Browns beat the Packers back in week three. But the Dylan Gabriel experience needs to be done. You need to move on from Myles Garrett. You need to send Myles Garrett wherever. If you got to send him to the NFC, you got to send him to the NFC. If you got to send Myles Garrett to the damn, the Cowboys ain't going to give you anything. I mean, it would be funny if they did. It'd be hilarious if they gave you 3 first-round picks. You need to send him to, Dallas. You got to send him to Washington. You got to send him to Detroit, Tampa, Carolina, the Rams. I don't care. But you got to do the dude justice, and you got to trade him because you suck. And you know you suck. And if you're not going to give Shedeur Sanders a chance, and if you're not going to, you moved on from Flacco, and you're just going to sit here and give Dylan Gabriel all the opportunities. But here's the deal. You're not even really giving Dylan Gabriel all the opportunities because you're running an inept offense. 190 passing yards, 221 passing yards, 116 passing yards, 156 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks against New England. Threw the football 52 times against Pittsburgh. 221 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. Sacked 6 times. Like, no part of this offense is efficient. I've been a big Kevin Stefanski fan, since he was the offensive coordinator in Minnesota. I don't get it. I don't get why you're just continuing. I get why they're continuing to put Dylan Gabriel out there. They want him to, get through his first 10 games, grow, see how he grows through that. But like, I don't know. This is none of it makes any sense what they're doing. And I think they stink. I think that they are the worst. They're Tennessee is probably the worst team in the league, but they're right there with New Orleans next in line. New Orleans also, got skunked by Tampa. We got to see some Tyler Shook. That's great. He threw the ball 30 times for 128 yards, basically a doppelganger of what Spencer Rattler did. He was 15 for 21, 136 and an interception. Sorry. Shook was 17 for 30, 128 and a pick as well. Both guys rather inefficient, couldn't get anything done. Think they were sacked, 6 times, 7 times, felt like. Maybe I'm off by a couple. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times by Tampa Bay. Crushed. The Broncos are back, and not only are the Broncos back, but we got ourselves an RJ Harvey little mini breakout. 3 touchdowns for RJ3. 8 touches, 56 yards, 3 touchdowns. .24 fantasy points for RJ Harvey. Opportunity is all you need. J.K. Dobbins has had a phenomenal season. But R.J. Harvey, you got to build in more opportunities and more opportunities. This duo has the potential to be sick. And, Troy Franklin also, broke out. Massive. Troy Franklin needs to be bumped up massively in the dynasty rankings right now. And I'll do it. I'll bump him up this afternoon, tomorrow morning when I go through the update. Troy Franklin sitting right now for us, consensus 134th overall in Dynasty in the top 250, which is right next to Khalil Shakir, Dontavian Wicks, Jalen Knoll, Cortland Sutton, Mike Evans, that area. But I think Troy Franklin needs to get bumped up. If I, digging into this really deep, I think if there was a spot I was going to move Troy Franklin up to in Dynasty, I'm probably moving him up to, I feel confident, and I'm lower than consensus, I think, on Quentin Johnston. Quentin Johnston, Terry McLaurin, that area. So right around 65, 66, 67, somewhere in that area in one QB dynasty, which is, for me, that's ETN, Chase Brown, Luther Burden, Terry McLaurin, Quentin Johnson. That's this ballpark, this area. That's, I think Troy Franklin deserves to get bumped up into that category. Franklin had a phenomenal game. He looks phenomenal. He's taken the last couple of weeks massive steps forward on this Bronco offense. And Alex kind of was pointing at a couple of weeks ago. He's like, Troy Franklin, Troy Franklin, Troy Franklin. And we're seeing now, like, he had a big game week two, but it really regressed back down. And it was like, all right, well, that was a flash in the pan. That was just, you know, a teammate connection thing. But now you're seeing the last couple of weeks some real growth and the target share growth, 12% to 16% to 23% to 30%. And he's becoming the first read. He's becoming the key of the offense. Pat Bryant had a touchdown in this game. Evan Engram was targeted a few times. Courtland Sutton looks good. Like, this is a very well-oiled football team that really laid into the Dallas Cowboys and brought the Cowboys sort of back to earth. The Cowboys have felt like for a couple of weeks there, and I know they've been like wishy-washy. So you go back to the Cowboys, loss, win, loss, tie, win, loss, win, loss. Like, they've been wishy-washy. They dominate Washington, feel like they should be Carolina, beat the Jets, beat the breakout the Jets, tie the Packers. Like, they felt good the last month, and the Broncos brought it right back down to earth. And now they got the Cardinals this week. They'll beat the Cardinals on whatever that is, Monday Night Football. They'll beat the Cardinals, go into the bye, come out, beat the Raiders, and everyone will forget. And they'll be 5-4, and then they'll get shit stomped by the Eagles, Chiefs, and Lions. Like, that's just how it's going to work for the Cowboys this year. And they're going to finish 8-9. But this Bronco team, this is a massive win for Denver. Denver has Houston this week in Houston. Then they have the Raiders, and then a massive matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs. They'll be 8-2 at the time. The Chiefs are probably going to be 5-4, 6-3, 5-4 coming off a bye. That's a big game for that division. But RJ Harvey, massive breakout. Troy Franklin, massive breakout. As far as the opportunities go for that Bronco backfield, again, didn't shift too much. Actually got a bump in snaps for J.K. Dobbins. 28% of the snaps for R.J. Harvey, which is the most he's had since week four, which was the last time he had 19 fantasy points. He hasn't had more than 10 in any other week other than week four when he saw 41% of the snaps, and then this week when he saw 28% of the snaps. This kid needs more snaps, and that's just the bottom line. Speaking of somebody else that needs more snaps, we can continue on this trick. But it's, again, another week with Travion Henderson. The Patriots beat the shit out of the Browns. Travion gets 22% of the snaps. 5.5 fantasy points. Five. I'm tired of this. This is so annoying at this point. That you see Travion Henderson, like, pop off multiple long runs. 10 for 75, he finishes with on the ground. I think he fumbled a football in this game. Yes, he did. He lost a fumble in this game. Recovered by Devin Bush. Yeah. I don't know. 2.4 yards per carry for Ramondre Stevenson, 7.5 yards per carry for Travion Henderson. 14 carries to 10. Ramondre gets two targets. They win 32-13. It feels like you take a step forward, you take two steps back when you get the fumble for Travion there. And Ramondre is going to continue to get this. It makes no sense. I don't know how to make sense of the Travion Henderson thing other than to say, like, you just got to stay course. I know it's painful. I know you used a top six dynasty rookie pick on him. You used up to, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth round seasonal draft pick on him. You probably cut him at a certain point. People are probably, you know, thinking about cutting him to a certain point. He's the kick returner for the Patriots right now. Like, I get it. First play of the game, Stevenson goes for 2. Second play of the game, Henderson goes for 12. Incompletion to Butte. Drake May rushes for 16. Henderson's back in. He rushes for 18. So in the first drive, Henderson rushes 2 carries, 30 yards. And you're thinking, holy shit, we are cooking with grease. Doesn't touch the ball the rest of the drive. Browns get the ball. Browns score a touchdown. Browns are up 7-3. You come back out. He gets the kick return, doesn't touch the ball on the drive. Ramondre rushes for 4. Ramondre rushes for 5. Ramondre rushes for -1. Punt. Browns ball, Patriots ball, doesn't touch the ball, interception, Browns ball, Patriots get the ball back. Henderson gets a carry, -2, he's out of the game. Doesn't touch the ball again until the third quarter. 6-yard carry, 27-yard carry, out of the game. Doesn't touch the ball until end of the third quarter for 4 yards. Up the middle for -3. Doesn't touch the ball again until way later. End of the fourth quarter, 7 minutes left. Rushes for 2, rushes for 8, and then he rushes for 3 and fumbles. And that's about how the game ends. That was his last touch was the fumble. Get in the bowl more. That's kind of my whole thing here. I don't know how many thoughts we went through today. It feels like we went through about 64 of them. It's the Top 10 Thoughts Show here at rosterwatch.com. We appreciate you. We love you. Become a pro or premium member today. We have the new HyperPicks tool. It's doing well. Last week was up over 70%. This week we're, depending on Monday night finishing, we're looking at just getting close to a 60% finish on this week's picks as well. It's an up and up. We're looking great. I think on the season, let me check. On the season, I believe we are at, gosh, I should probably have that handy right at the tip of my head, huh? 58% on the season, 57% on the season, 3 weeks over 60%, 2 weeks over 70%. We're cooking with grease. You get the DFS tool. Go get the pro and premium subscriptions. You get the weekly rankings. You get all of the premium tools as well as the Dynasty Top 250 that can help you as the season wanes. And maybe your Dynasty team isn't doing too well. You can continue to build that thing with the Dynasty Top 250 from rosterwatch.com. Again, Tuesday will be the Waiver Wire show with Alex and Trashman. If you got any questions, get them in at the bottom of this video in the comment section. We'll get those things answered on Tuesday, or go over to rosterwatch.com and get all your Waiver Wire questions answered, as well as the Waiver Wire cheat sheet. Friday, we'll be back with the fantasy football preview show heading into week 9. It's going to be another epic one. I believe on Thursday night, it's Ravens Dolphins. And you know what that means. Lamar Jackson back in Dade County, 45-7. I'll take 45-7 Ravens dismantle the Dolphins. Have yourself a good week. Week 9 approaches. I appreciate you. I love you. And we'll see you on Friday.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.